faith. Starting a sermon series, we started last week with hope. We're looking at the wonderful gifts of God. And gifts of God certainly imply that they come to us from God, and they're coming to us from God, then they're being offered to us by God for a very specific purpose. And the only very specific purpose that God would offer you something is to draw you close to God, to kind of help pull you into Him. So in order to help pull you into Him, He offers you faith. Yes, faith. So faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Now, here's the way it works. There's secular faith and there's divine faith. For me to sit in that chair and have faith in that chair, I got to know something about that chair, don't I? What do I need to know? I need to know that baby's going to hold me. And if I have any question, any doubt about that chair holding me, in other words, if I don't have complete faith, do you think I'm going to sit in that chair? No. I'm going to come over and test it a little bit, maybe wiggle a little bit, see what it does. But if I have any suspicion this thing's not going to hold me, if I cannot have complete faith in this chair, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get rid of it because I ain't going to sit in it because I don't want to get hurt, end up on the floor and all of you laughing at me. Not that you would laugh, but you might tell stories later, like at lunch or something. But we're not talking about secular faith. We're talking about divine faith. Can I have complete trust, confidence in God? Yes, I can. Do I? No, not always. I mean, these really big things, you know, like the really big things, I might kind of want to hold back a little bit and say, listen, this is kind of big. I got to deal with this myself. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's the little things. It's, oh, I can't bother God about this because it's so trivial. The stool's a little loose. It's not a big deal, this and that. And I'm not going to bother God about it. I'm not going to have faith in that. I'll just take care of it myself. The optimal answer here is yes, I would always have complete faith. But you know, I'm thinking that just doesn't work out all the time. Things happen. So if you want to know a great definition for faith, then we would have to go to the Scriptures. And Hebrews 11, the chapter, the faith chapter of all the Scriptures, Hebrews 11, the way when you go home today, read Hebrews 11, because it's a great, great chapter on faith. Here's how it starts. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. What things? What things hoped for? That I win the lottery. That I win the lottery. That's it. So if I go to the lottery place and pick up a couple tickets on the lottery and I pray, oh, dear Jesus, 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 that I would win the lottery, now I can say I have hope is the assurance I'm going to win the lottery. No, because I'm kind of thinking that faith is the assurance of things hoped for my spiritual life. Which means now they have to be in line with the will of God. Oh. So lottery tickets probably aren't in my life the will of God for me. So I'm not going to place a lot of faith in that. It has to be within the will of God for my life. And my life's different than your life, and your life is different than everybody else's life in here. So for you then, and for me as individuals, our faith is the assurance of the things in the will of God for your life. In the past, today, and all in the future. And the conviction of things not seen. Why is that important? Because I'm in the present moment. I have faith for tomorrow. But I can't look into tomorrow because tomorrow's not here. I have faith for 6 months from now, but I can't look into 6 months from now because 6 months isn't here yet. So I cannot see past the present moment. I can hope and I can guess, but I can't physically see into 6 months from now. So faith is the absolute positive, the best of my little ability that God has great things in store for my... What does God want for me? The very best that He has to bring into my life. Does God bring junk into my life? No. He has the very best. He wants the very best. Does that mean I'm never going to get sick? I'm never going to have issues, never going to have problems, never going to have bad days, never going to have sad days, never going to be worried, anxious? No, of course I am. Whose problem is that? Mine. It's mine. I struggle for peace and joy. And when I lose track of all that stuff, that's when all the other stuff starts to creep back in. So my faith is the absolute assurance, to the best of my ability, for the things that God has in store for Kip Younger's life, and the conviction that when I need them, they're going to be there. I don't even know what they are 6 months from now. I don't know what I need 6 months from now. But I know God does, because what? Because He's already there. He's already there. He's already 6 months out. He's 6 years out. He's 60 years out. He's 6 days out. He's already there. And He's just waiting for me to get there, determine what the crisis or the situation or the celebration is, and just join Him in it. And that's the core of faith, is that I know that with assurance, whatever God wills for my life is out there. And when I get there, I'll find it. For me, faith is like a gate. A gate is, you stand on this side of the gate, in this realm and in this world and in this experience. But when I get to the gate, and I can see or have been taught and know and trust that there's better things on the other side of that gate, to get to the other side, I have to open the gate and come on in. Faith for me is a gate. The problem here is me. You see, for me, the only way I can connect with God is through my faith. The only venue, the only way, the only means I have for Kip Younger to connect to God is through faith. It's the only thing I have. Because faith is believing in Him. Faith is that absolute assurance that He's with me and He's 6 months out. It's just believing in Him. But if I can't believe that He's here today and He's always been in my life and He's going to be 6 years, whatever, out in front of me, if I can't believe in that, then I don't have faith in that. So faith for me is the only way I can connect to God. No faith, no connection. People who don't believe in God have no faith. And that just kind of makes sense, does it not? Because they have no connection with God. So why would they believe in someone they don't connect with? The way I connect to God is to trust Him, believe in Him, and have faith in Him. And usually, sometimes, more than others, it can be filled with human strife, rebellion, and weakness. I want to have complete faith in God. I want to trust Him for absolutely everything, every moment in my life. I want to. But sometimes my mind gets a little off track. I see something shiny going by, and I'm like, wow. And I lose everything over here. Or I just get rebellious. Imagine that. Or weak. Or weak and puny. And it's like, oh, I take care of it. And when all that stuff begins to happen, it just kind of eats away at my faith, my connection to God, my trust and belief in God. And pretty soon, it's more about Kip Younger, Kip Younger, Kip Younger, Kip Younger, Kip Younger, and not God, not God, not God, not God. My belief gets smaller and punier. And so does my faith. It's a gate. I have to go through the gate. My faith is the gate to God. Jesus said, I'm that gate. He said, I'm the gate. You want to get to the Father? Come to me. Actually, anyone who saves, goes through my gate, will be saved for eternity. And you know what else? You're going to come in and go out, and you're going to find pasture. Coming in and going out to find pasture means I'm going to find peace and joy when I go through the gate. Because when I go through the gate, which is Jesus, and I have faith in Him, He takes me to the Father. When I get to the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, peace and joy come into my life like I've never experienced before. Where'd this stuff come from? Oh, it came from my faith. Came from my faith because I went through the gate, which is my faith. I stepped into faith. It connected me to Jesus Christ, returned me to the Father, empowered me by the Holy Spirit. And suddenly I began to see things, realize things so totally different than I used to, that now peace and joy begin to come into my life. Woohoo! This faith is a good thing. Until I get kind of crazy and rebel or get weak or whatever. So we need a good story that gives us a lot of different dimensions about faith, humanity, and God. And what a great story this is. Jesus made disciples get into the boat and go ahead onto the other side. Then He dismissed the crowds. And then He went up to the mountain to pray. When evening came. Now, wait a minute. Evening? Let's see. He told the boys to get in the boat and head on over to the other side. Then He dismissed the crowds. And then He headed up the mountain. So what time did the guys get in the boat? Probably early afternoon. Because, you know, he's getting the crowd out of there so they can all get home in the daylight. And he gets the boys in the boat probably early afternoon. And then later on in the evening, he goes up to the mountain so he can pray. And by this time, see where it says, by this time, the time that they got in the boat, he dismissed the crowds. They're starting to row or sail or whatever they're doing to try to get to the other side. By this time, battered by the waves, they were still far from the land. He said, well, that doesn't make any sense. They're not far from the land they left. They're far from the land they're going to. They're going to. Here, going to there. But because of the waves and the winds blowing against them, man, they were still far away. They were far away, and they've been out there for a couple hours now. So early in the morning, what? Yes. How long have these guys been rowing? All night. How long has he been up there praying? All night. Early in the morning, he came strolling on the water towards them. They're rowing, and the waves are beating, and the wind's blowing. And he's strolling on the water. He's just kind of strolling on the water, coming out to them. He, God in Jesus, is doing the illogical to our human minds, and he's doing the absolute impossible. Nobody walks on water. Nobody does. Nobody. I promise you, more than likely, none of you can get up because as soon as I say it, someone's going to get up and go do it. See, more than likely, even the choir can't do it. No one can go out there and walk on that pond. I guarantee it. No one can do it. Unless all of a sudden you're struck by lightning and boom, or the Holy Spirit, one of the two. It's going to be lightning or Holy Spirit going to get you across the pond, walking on it, sort of. But without the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, no one's going to walk on that pond out there. So he's doing, in the current moment, they're in the boat, they're rowing, they've been out there all night, and he, in that moment, is walking, doing the impossible. He's doing the impossible for them and for us. They saw him, and they just freaked out. They just went nuts. They are experiencing, listen, they are experiencing God doing the impossible, and it scares the daylight out of them. They just can't believe that God is really doing this because no one walks on water. You don't do this stuff. This is crazy. But what if it's not a boat in the storm? What if it's Aunt Martha who's sick or Uncle Bud who's sick? Or what if it's someone without a job, without a car, and they're losing their house, some terrible circumstance over here? What if that's what's going on? Don't you see that sometimes when we see that and we see God trying to work, it scares us. It just scares us to death. It scares us because God's doing something that we either don't believe he can do or we just believe he won't do for whatever crazy reason. So they see God walking on water and it just terrifies them. They say, yeah, it's got to be a ghost, got to be a ghost. When we see something happen that we cannot understand or explain, it's impossible, it's illogical, our crazy little minds are going to race until we come up with some type of explainable reasoning as to what we see. And when they looked at him, they said, oh my gosh, it's a ghost. It's got to be a ghost. What else could it be? People don't walk on water. Only ghosts can walk on water. It's got to be a ghost. And they cry out in fear. They formulated a reason, but you know, the reasoning wasn't strong enough because they're mere humans. They're just thinking with a little bit they got in their heads. They're mere humans, and they're trying to make sense out of something only God can do. And they look and say, well, it's got to be a ghost. But then it's like, oh, man, if it is a ghost, that scares us even more. Now we named it a ghost. Now we're even more scared because this doesn't make any sense. But immediately, that's twice. He's going to do it one more time. Immediately, he speaks to them. Immediately, he says, I'm here. He responds to their fear. He speaks into their fear. Immediately. So you got the boat thing going on over here, but over here you got the people who are losing their homes, losing their jobs, losing their cars, losing their family, so-and-so is sick, so-and-so is really sick, and all this stuff is going on over here in life, the tornadoes, the floods, all this kind of stuff is going on, and they don't know what to do about it, and he says to them, but I'm here. I'm here. And he begins to speak to them, and he'll speak to those, and he'll speak to us about our fears. He says, take heart. Calm down. Take a breath. Regroup. Let's refocus for a second. This stuff is extremely frightening. That boat's pretty frightening. But let's just kind of take a deep breath and regroup for a second
because it is I. I am with you. The presence of God is with you. The presence and the love of the Holy Spirit is with you. Over here, he's with you. So he's saying, all these people over here, tornadoes and floods and jobs and houses and all that kind of stuff, he's saying to them, oh, take heart. Take a breath. Just relax. Let's regroup for just a second. Y'all just calm down. You guys in the boat, calm down. Take a deep breath. Because I am with you. I've always been with you. I've been with you in the past. I'm with you in the current. I'll always be with you in the future. So just take a deep breath. It's me. Calm down. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid means don't just look to yourself. Because you're afraid. If you look to yourself when you're afraid, what are you going to be? More afraid? Look for something deeper within you. Look for something that's not of you. Because as soon as I get scared, as soon as I get anxious, as soon as I get afraid, and I start looking inside me, you know what I see is all the fear and all the stuff over here is causing the fear, and I become even more afraid. So Jesus say, hey, oh, whoa, take a deep breath. I'm with you. Let's focus not on what scares the daylights out of you, but let's focus on the core and the essence, the foundation of your faith. Focus on me. Yeah, I know all this stuff is going on. And I know they're having a hard time in the boat. I got that. But if you're just going to stay afraid, you're going to lose. So take a deep breath. It is I. Don't be afraid. Go back to the core of your faith. Peter answered. Holy cow. He answered him. Listen, Peter's in the boat. The other guys are in the boat. The ghost is coming. It sounds like Jesus can't really tell if it looks like him or not because he's all wet and the wind's blowing and the waves and all that kind of stuff is going on. And it says that Peter answered him. Now, Peter could have said to the guys, row faster, row faster, get the sails up, row faster, he's coming, he's coming, he's catching up, row faster, row faster. But it says that Peter answered him. He took a deep breath. He heard what he said. He thought about the core of his faith. And then he gave something to it. He began the process of leaning on that faith. Not a lot of faith, perhaps, at this very moment. But he spoke to him. He answered him. He said something to God. He said, Lord, Lord, trying to identify the core of his faith. Lord, if it's you, I'm not real sure it is just yet, but if it's really you, trying to make a statement of whom he has faith in, and if the one he has faith in is now really, really with them, if it's you, then command me. Do something about it. Command me. I want you to challenge me. I want you to call me. I want you to command me. I want you to commission me. I want you to do something for, to, through me. I have a willingness and an openness to exercise my faith, but I need something from you. Call me. Challenge me. Command me to come to you. I want an invitation to be with you physically and spiritually. Guys in the boat, people over here. Call us. Bid us come to you. We want to come to you. Listen, if you're really here, God, and if you're really working with my job and the losing of my house and this and that, my kids are sick or my wife is sick or my husband is sick or whatever's going on, all this stuff, if you're really, really, really here, then doggone it, you call me. You challenge me to come join you and let me come to be with you because I need you. I need you. You call me because I want to be with you. And you know where I want to be with you, God? I want to be with you right there in the midst of it. Whatever it is that you're doing for my house, my job, my kids, my wife, my husband, my faith, whatever, whatever it is you're doing here, then I want to join you in it. Whatever you are doing in the moment of my crisis, I want to be a part of it with you. I want to meet you on the water. Don't you come in this boat. Lord, don't come in the boat. That don't settle anything. Don't you race on ahead of us and wait for us to get to the other side. You call me because I want to be with you in the midst of what you are doing. You're out there walking, baby, I want to be out there walking with you.
I want to be right there with you. You're with me in all this stuff over here. Then you let me join you in the midst of what you are doing now. To bring me peace and joy, let me be a part of it now. Because I'm so hungry for it. I want to exercise my faith. I want to do something. So let me join you now. Let me do something now. And Jesus said, what? No. He said, whatever. Come on out. Water's fine. It's a little chilly, a little rough, but you'll be okay. Come on out. What would he have said to Peter? No. What's he going to say to the guys in the boat? No. What's he going to say to all these people over here? No. No. He's going to say, come. Water's fine. Come. Whenever we have a request of faith, it's always granted. Now, there's the problem. We don't always get to see how it's granted. And he doesn't always grant them fast enough to please us, but he's always there. He was always there. So he says, come on out. So Peter gets out of the boat. Wait a minute. I ain't getting out of the boat. If that's kept younger in that boat, I ain't getting out. I say, hey, Lord, is that you? Bid me come to you, and I want to join you on the water. And then he says, hey, come on out. I'm saying, up. That's all I need to hear. Thank you very much. I'm going to sit right down here in the boat, and I'm going to see if I can't get these guys to row a little harder, because I ain't getting out of that boat. But Peter got out. He threw his legs over, and when his feet hit the water, they stopped. They stopped. He couldn't make them go in the water. They stopped. Can you imagine the expression on his face? Like, wow. Oh, my God. The incredible courage to just trust enough to get out. No fear. He threw his doubt and his skepticism. He put that away for just a few seconds. He may need them later. But he put them aside for just a few seconds, and he got out. And when he got out, you know what he did? He started walking around. Can you believe this? Walking on the water. Oh, my God. This is great. Woo-hoo! So he's doing exactly what he asked. He says, you call me to be with you on the water. Just come on in. So he jumps down, and now he's with him on the water. He's doing it. It's critical to see that the man is doing it. He's doing it. Whatever these people need, they've joined him, and it's coming to a reality. They are doing it. And he came to Jesus. Faith entrusted is always going to bring us closer to Christ. But then all of a sudden, there's always a but. All of a sudden, he paused for a second. And he looked around. He said, oh my gosh, it's still so windy and cold out here. Oh, look at the waves. Oh, the boat. Oh, no. He went right back to recognizing whatever it was that was trying to steal this faith away from him. He went right back to focusing on that. He's walking around on the water. He's doing it. And then he stops. And he starts to think about no job, no house, no car, so-and-so sick. He starts going back to all that stuff again. And as soon as he does, he becomes frightened because that's the stuff that scares him. And as soon as he becomes frightened, he sinks. He goes down because his fear overcame the living reality of his faith. He did not read about this in some book and say, should I give it a shot or not? He did it. And soon as he lost focus, he went down. And he cries out, oh, Lord, save me. You know, the best thing about that, he doesn't leave his faith. Fear comes back, but he doesn't leave faith. He doesn't abandon it. He doesn't forsake it, give it up, doubt, get angry, turn to himself, doesn't yell for the guys in the boats to throw him a lifeline, doesn't do anything. He goes right back to the core of his faith, Jesus Christ. He says, oh, save me, I messed up, save me. And immediately, when? Immediately, he was there. And he reached out his hand, he picked him up. Pulled him back. The evidence of his presence is always with us. Did he have to wait? No. It's a pope. Oh, here you go. And then he said to him, you have little faith. Now, a lot of times when we read this little story and we get to this part, we picture Jesus condemning Peter. Oh, you have little faith. I think that's a compliment. He said to him, Peter, dude, come on. You had just enough faith to get out of the boat, right? You had a little faith in me, and you got out of the boat, and you and I are running around on the water, hooping and hollering, having a great time. Come on. You had a little faith, man. What happened? What was so strong in your perception of all this reality that it was able to overcome the reality that you and I were walking together on the water? You ain't never walked on water before, boy. You ain't never going to walk on it again. This was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So what was it? How did it happen that the wind that's been blowing all afternoon, all evening, in through the night, they've been fighting with it, and into the early morning, wind's always been there. Why all of a sudden do you doubt? You're doing it. You're doing it. Why are you doubting now? He connected with Christ when he called out. When he leaped over the side of the boat, boom, they were one with one, walking, having a great time, connected to God through his faith. But faith can sometimes be troubled with us, human strife and rebellion and weakness. And the little guy who sits on the shoulder, curly tail, pitchfork, whispers in my ear, uh-oh, the wind's still out there. The crisis is still here. You still don't have a job. They're coming for the car tonight. You better hide it around the yard somewhere. So-and-so's still sick. He whispers it in the ear. We're out walking on the water, and he whispers in my ear, oh, this, that, and the other thing. The priest says, oh, no, yeah, you're right, you're right. Oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, no. Why? I think it's just the way we're wired. I think we're just prone to listen to all these voices. And we can be prone to weakness. And we can go back down. But the point is, not only did the guy walk on water, but when he came back into a realm that we can really connect with him in, that he got scared and went down, he called out again. And that's what we do. We call out again. We call out again and again. Lord, save me. Save me from my own rebellion, my own weakness, my own strife, my own bullheadedness, my own confusion, my own apathy, my own prejudice. Save me and save my faith that you gave me as a gift so I could cry out to you, so I can cry out to you. Now I'm crying out again. Save me. Father, we love you. We may not all have gotten out of the boat, but he did. He stepped it up a notch. I'm not sure I would have done that. I hope that had I, and if I lost focus and sank, I would have had the presence of faith to call back to you and allow you opportunity to continue to be my God and my Savior and my Spirit. That regardless of the circumstances, I would always get to that point of calling out to you. It's your gift to me. In our moments of weakness, let the Spirit that lives within us awaken us to the need and the reality of your presence always with us. The strength and the power of our faith, even when it's little, it yields great strength and power. Let it be so for us. We ask it all in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.